Go to Facebook. Oh, my grandma had liposuction. That's nice. Yeah, check out this. You go to Instagram, you see all the babes there. Like, man, wouldn't I love to live that life? You think about what it would be like if one of those Instagram models just accidentally swiped right on you for once. Go to Snapchat. Oh, got a new one. New notification. That's from Team Snapchat. Damn it. And happy Easter to you, too.
On 1340 WKGN.
So, yeah, if you ask me if technology makes people lonely these days, sometimes the only interaction you get is Uber. Or Uber Eats. At least you get some human interaction that way.
Just take the point. I don't want it. Just Cody wins. Hour two kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour two headlines. Draven.
Listen, December 11th. You see the big date, December 11th.
What is December 11th?
COVID-19 vaccines. As soon as December 11th, you guys seeing this? The new positive news here. Here we go. Vaccine's coming.
Maybe that'll be your punishment. You have to get the very first vaccine offer.
Operation Warp Speed officials say that, December 11th could be the soonest. They're going to have to do day two after approval. So I guess they have a couple of days where they have to do all their approval and everything. And then we could be getting it out to the first people to be immunized across the United States. It's good news, right?
Especially first round for the rich people that get it. What?
Well, no, I think the first round of vaccines will go to who? Like the front round, the front line workers, the people in hospitals?
It should.
Should. Yeah, I hope so. It doesn't really say who it's going to go out to. It just says the first people immunized across the United States. So I don't know if they've got just like some test people. They got people lined up for this how this works.
A little bit of breaking news.
Uh-oh. Good or bad?
Bad. Could you not tell by the tone of my voice?
Yeah.
A little bit of breaking news. Really bad news for you two. The Volunteer basketball team will not travel to Indianapolis for next week's Jimmy V Classic, where they were scheduled to face top-ranked Gonzaga. Tennessee will also not play at Notre Dame on December 4th. Barring additional setbacks, the program aims to return to action on Saturday, December 5th, when its first game currently set for December 12th against Cincinnati. After Monday's COVID-19 test results, the Tennessee's men basketball program is extending its pause on all team activities. Really bad news for people ready to switch gears here and enjoy a good Tennessee product. Really bad news here for Team Haven, as now Hayden is locked into punishment for not having.
No. You said before canceled. Thanksgiving. Games you said before Thanksgiving,
games
though, canceled. Originally.
Games canceled.
So before I get about it. No.
With you about it.
No, I'm not arguing with you either. You said before Thanksgiving.
You owe a punishment.
And no, I don't.
The game's canceled. No. You didn't get it done before the game got canceled. The game is now officially over. You drug your feet. You snooze, you lose.
I'm not doing it, so.
Fun fact, the Jimmy V Classic was presented by Corona. That's the sponsor. That's the main sponsor.
Is that true?
Yeah. It's like if you look at the ESPN thing of the Tennessee Gonzaga game, Jimmy V Classic, presented by Corona.
Ah, man, it's really disappointing.
Classic.
Is college basketball going to make it? I don't think they're going to make it. They haven't started the season yet. We have how many teams that have already canceled? Like a handful.
I mean, you'll have some.
I really wanted that game.
You'll have some teams getting ready to play, but like I would say the big non-conference games are going to be probably 50-50.
They should just go to a conference schedule and then do the tournament. That's the only way they can get through this.
I don't know. It's crazy that this happens right before the season. Like, what the hell is Rick Barnes doing?
I would like to know
what Rick Barnes and how I would like to know, and maybe it's not fair to single them out because it's a pandemic. Like, you can't really get mad at people for getting sick.
Right.
But I would want to ask, like, how did Philip Fulmer get it and how did Rick Barnes get it? Who are they interacting with that was not following protocol? I get it when college kids get it. I get it. They're not really at risk. They are going to go out and see their friends. They're going to go to bars. Who is Philip Fulmer seeing that isn't taking precautions? Is it somebody at UT that's not, is everyone not masked up over there in offices? Or, they're not taking it seriously?
Good question.
Good
question.
Like, how does Rick Barnes get it? Like, I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
Does the team have it? Did someone on the team give it to him? It was one of the free restaurants he gets free food from for staying at here. Like, did he go in there and get it? Like, again, it's maybe not fair to be upset at somebody for getting it. I'm just wondering how your coach and your athletic director get it and where from. Are they locked down at home? Like, are they? I mean, because is that fair or foul to question? Like, as leaders. Now, maybe they're having to shake hands and go get money. Like, maybe the business don't stop and they have to go do boosting things. And
yeah.
And maybe Fulmer's having to especially raise some money because he's got a $19 million buyout. He's looking down the barrel up for football. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's not fair, but I'm just wondering, like, I thought we had procedures in place to avoid this.
You're supposed to.
Again, maybe it's not fair. I don't know.
I feel like there's just so many people in the building, though, that you could just pick it up from that you don't know tested positive, and then you go back to your home.
Are they not working from home?
So there's not that many people in that athletic building.
They still are on campus, though.
Like, how many people do you think are like working in like around Rick Barnes?
I would imagine still all of his assistant coaches and all that. I mean, that's
four or five of those, though,
but
right?
Still, I mean,
and the main coaches all have like their own offices and stuff too. But like,
yeah, I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe, like I said, maybe it's not fair. Maybe it's not fair. I'm just looking at it and saying like. You could easily, especially those guys who have money. It's not like they're out having to grind and go like they. It's not like they can say, "Hey, I can't go into work. I can't go. I'm sorry, I can't call in at the factory." Where like you know my frontline workers, half of them aren't taking it seriously, and they got kids from the daycare. You know, and they're all getting sick, and we're just passing it around back and forth to each other. And there's nowhere to hide because like the bills are due, and we got to work,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't get the stimulus check. We've gotten $1,200 for, you know, 39 weeks of this or whatever it is. And imagine Rick Barnes has enough money where he can be like, hey, we can pay somebody to bring our groceries to us and drop them off.
You would think.
Like, I don't have to make contact with anybody if I'm Rick Barnes. If I'm Philip Fulmer, I don't have to have contact with people right now.
It is weird both of them got it, too. Isn't that kind of strange as
know.
Well?
I wonder if, like I said, I would like to know how they got it and, like, did Barnes get it from Fulmer and...
Did Fulmer throw a house party?
Like, yeah, did he?
All the coaches invited, except Pruitt.
maybe that's where they got it from. Maybe I mean, it's not a coincidence that Fulmer got it right after the news broke that 8 of our 10 football assistants didn't take a pay cut. Probably had everybody storming in his office.
Maybe.
Wanting an explanation. Barnes, probably one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like I said, I acknowledge that that might not be fair to question, but I just wonder, like, the leaders, like, you got to be a little bit more careful, I would say.
How's basketball going to make it? Like, I feel like the percentage is a lot lower than people think of basketball just making it through the season. Am I crazy to say that? Because I feel like football, at least you have weeks to kind of reschedule stuff. Basketball, I mean, what are they going to do? Just keep pushing the tournament back? I mean,
Rick Pitino's been like, hey, let's just wait until like February to play or March to play and then have May Madness. Like,
because, I mean, you're starting right at Thanksgiving when everybody's going home, trying to come back.
It's dumb to be starting right now.
Yes.
Like, we're starting right now as the virus is taking off. Like, I don't know how you could do it in basketball, like what you could actually do differently. But, like, I felt this way about it in August and July. Like, I feel like football should have been starting earlier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it never made sense for them to be pushing it back. Like, the virus wasn't going anywhere, right? Like, it wasn't like anybody was taking extra precautions. Like, people were getting sick of it. And then you have the election cycle and the protests and people, like, getting around and just, like, all that, like, getting people out and about and voting and, like, just being out in public, like, in Thanksgiving and holiday stuff. And to me, it made more sense, like, hey, let's try to move this season up to, like, August. Let's get outside when it's hot and people think the virus might be less likely to spread. And also, like, let's give ourselves 4 months to play the season rather than, like, what the Pac-12 did where it's like, hey, we got 6 weeks to play six games.
Yeah.
And they already have cancellations.
Yeah, like, how dumb was that?
Yeah.
But, like, obviously, you know, we don't need headlines to really break this down. You don't need me to break it down for you. But I'll point it out, like, the entire country, the NCAA, Tennessee had all this time and didn't really come with any plans for this. Like, basketball, it blew my mind yesterday to see first two home games canceled. Well, we didn't really think about what the refund policy will be, so check back with us at the end of the year. Did you see that? They said, we are reviewing our refund policy. We'll let you know more about it when the season is concluded. So if you bought tickets to this VCU and this Charlotte game, we're going to hold on to your money for a couple months. We'll let you know when you get it back.
Yeah, that's a mess.
Oh, my goodness.
If you had season tickets and you bought tickets to the Cincinnati game and it doesn't get played, we'll let you know about it at the end of the year.
I would be livid.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I got friends that bought the football Vol pass when it got canceled, mm-hmm. haven't gotten refunded for it. Like, I imagine the university is trying to take this money that they have for 6 or 8 months and try to, you know, do something where you can get some type of return on it.
Yeah.
Try to delay it for as long as they can on paying you back. I'm sure what will happen with basketball is if you bought season tickets and the season gets canceled, but hey, let's just roll this over to next year, please. Don't make us cut you a check back for what all these games you paid us.
What a disaster.
Eesh. I know those poor guys that flew in from Texas A&M, and they're not going to get a refund.
Yep.
They're going to be expected to come back, you know, at the end of December.
Yeah.
Seems like a real disaster. Let's talk some more Tennessee basketball after the break. Woo-hoo. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. A little positive content.
Please.
Jeff Goodman, college basketball writer, says the good news is we've got fewer than 10 high major college hoops teams currently shut down. As long as that number doesn't skyrocket, college hoops will march on.
Woohoo.
I don't know, like when he says a high major, I don't know how many mid-major teams we got off, but we do know college basketball has mid-majors be a pretty important part of their sport.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, here in Knoxville, Tennessee is one of the 10, which is funny as it comes out on the same day that I saw two mock drafts, one on ESPN, one on The Athletic, that both had Keon Johnson as a top 7 pick.
Love that.
Number 7 on ESPN's, number 5 on The Athletic's. Both even had a write-up with him about how he's the outside. He's the off the radar guy that everyone is predicting to break out and become a monster. And in this upcoming draft, I've heard many people say that the top 7 is really the equivalent of number 1
Ooh.
Pick from last year.
Well, that's a major upgrade from yeah, like you said this past year. Oh, okay.
Tennessee basketball.
I am sad about that news. I really wanted to watch the Gonzaga game.
Yeah. I mean, I was really excited for the Charlotte game, to be honest.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah. But the Gonzaga was the one I really was hoping. Because I was already worried about those two once, you know, this test came back. But I was really hoping we'd be able to get that Gonzaga game still going. But
well, maybe we'll have to deal with it the rest of the year.
Deal with what?
COVID on our team.
Our team had it. A lot of our players had it, but it's been.
I think it's been
longer than 3 months at this point.
I think it's back to the point where a lot of these people can like get it again from like when we like started workouts and stuff like that. Like since they came back to campus, I think their immunity's probably running out.
Sigh.
Yeah.
Is Cincinnati any good?
No.
Not okay.
I mean, I think they're going to be like the 60th ranked team. I think. So, I mean, decent, I guess.
Yeah, but
probably not.
They're usually better.
I would have really liked to have gotten a couple of games under our belt before we start playing decent teams.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather start with Cincinnati than Gonzaga, though, like we were going to.
Yeah, Cincinnati. I don't know. I'd say like that's a punch you in the mouth, see what you got right off the rip kind of game, and I'd be okay with that. You kind of know who's ready for a big moment right off the rip, and
yeah.
Like see if these freshmen can handle that, like. Kentucky's playing like their opener against Kansas. Like, if you want to be that kind of program, that kind of level program, I feel like you have to be able to also play those games kind of like that, just walk into the season. But, you know, obviously you do prefer to get a couple games under your belt usually, but I wouldn't be scared of doing that if you think you're that good of a team.
As we stand here right now, November 24th, with the news of a extended shutdown coming for basketball,
mm-hmm.
The number 1 versus number 12 teams in the country were set to play, and they're not playing anymore. which is really bad timing for Hayden, as we were just arguing about that, and now he owes us a punishment along with Draven. As we sit here on November 24th, do you care about sports more or less or the same than you did at the beginning of the year?
Oh, that's a good question.
Like, remove your teams away from it, because obviously if you're a big Tennessee fan, you're going to care less about the team at the very moment than you had did at the beginning of the year. I just mean sports in general. The sports in general. Not so much your team, because if you're a Tennessee football fan, I think it'd be impossible to care about them more right now than you did at the beginning of the year. I think it'd be impossible. I would say it's almost impossible to have ever cared less about this football team.
I'd say NFL, I've been probably, I don't know if, I would say I'm the same into stuff. I don't think it's like really, like on my teams, of course, I get upset with my teams.
Sure.
But like I still end up watching them. And I still, like I've watched every Thursday night, Monday night. I will sit around and watch NFL Sunday all day. I guess I've been down a little bit on college football. I think just because the slates haven't been always... Like, I feel like the past years we've had better just, like, overall college football slates.
Yeah.
Like, it's just been weird, you know, with the no non-conference and stuff. Like, yeah, some of the good conference games are cool, but just on the overall majority, it just seems like mediocre football half the time.
What about you, Draven?
So, do I care about sports more before the pandemic?
Or yes, but the beginning of the year. Beginning of the year. Like, beginning of the year that I do now. You can say before pandemic, that's fine. Like, more or less or the same?
I'd probably say about the same,
okay.
Honestly. I feel like, I mean, games are out. The quality of play in college football has been down. I agree with that. But NFL's been awesome, in my opinion. I think NFL's been really good. NBA was really good. I don't think I care about it anymore. Do you?
No, definitely not more. But I do. I mean, like that was a part of the conversation during the pandemic, was how much we're going to care about it more whenever, you know, it got back, right? How we're going to miss it and how we appreciate it so much. And you know, we've kept an eye on the TV ratings. Like
They've been down.
So I wondered if that was like a widespread thing for everyone. You know, in a year when you have a lot of people dying, and it's just been, I mean, it's been an exhausting year. Like, I don't need to tell anybody that 2020 has been a bad year, but like, I mean, you know,
yeah.
I guess we haven't really thought about all the arguments and protests over police brutality, but that was a big part of the year.
Yeah.
The COVID stuff, the election.
That seems so long ago.
Right. I mean, all of that's been this year, and like, I mean, it's just...
It's weird. The year's like going by fast, but yet everything still seems like it's happened forever ago. I don't know. It's weird. Like, there's so much stuff happened in this year, yet it still seems like it's flying by. It's very strange.
The highest rated college football game of the week at this time last year. Now, granted, it was Penn State at Ohio State. Although that Penn State team wasn't very good. Drew in 9.4 million viewers. The most watched game this week was Indiana at Ohio State. So pretty comparable. I mean, Indiana probably doesn't have as big of a fan base as Penn State, but you had
still
Ohio State
in
both
teams.
Of those. Drew 6.3 million. That's 3 million less viewers.
I think there's a lot of people that kind of just almost see this year as just like a wash a little bit. They're just like, it's a weird year. Like, this doesn't really matter. Like, I don't know. I think a lot of people kind of have taken that approach. And especially with like college and stuff like that, with all the games and stuff getting canceled, I think that's kind of just dulling people's mindset on it a little bit.
I don't know what the hell the Sunday afternoon week, you know, slate was last year in the NFL at this time. But it drew 29 million viewers. This week's afternoon slate drew 24 million. So that's a 5 million Jeez. Decrease.
24 last year?
Yeah. You just, like I said, you've seen it go down across the board, really. Hayden, how do you feel about your sports fandom? More or less the same?
I'd say it's about the same, but it's different than it was last year. Like, this year I watched more NBA than I ever have, probably. And it was just because it was, like, one of the only sports on. I never really gotten into the NBA. It also helped the Heat were
Did you find yourself
year.
Watching non-Heat games? Or
Yeah, I did.
Non-Heat,
I did.
Non-Laker games, I guess?
Yeah. Okay. I like watching Dame. And I like watching the playoff push through with the Suns and stuff like that. So I watch more of that. But then in college football, I mean, Tennessee – it's just hard to get into when your team's just, like, so egregious. NFL, I got NFL about the same. MLB, about the same too. I like watching the MLB. I watch a lot of different games. So I'd say about the same, less college football, more NBA this year.
Okay.
Just because the NBA was really the only thing on for a while, the MLB and the NBA.
I've just been thinking about it, but you guys all say the same, so maybe.
I will say my college is down. I think college is down for me.
Okay.
Like, I'll still watch these random little, like, MAC games sometimes, but I can't really just sit and watch it all day Saturday like I used to. I don't know why.
I mean, it's been hard for me to judge because, like, you know, for the last decade, like, I've bet on a lot of these sports, and the last couple weekends I haven't, and I have not cared at all about what's been happening. Like I said last night, I checked in on the fourth quarter of the game just because I still need to do my job and, like, know what's going on, but, like, in terms of watching the other stuff, like, on Saturday, I watched the Tennessee-Auburn game, and I watched the fourth quarter, a little bit of, like, the Coastal Carolina-App State game. It was just on the background as I was doing other things, but, like, that was pretty much it. I flipped back and forth, I guess, between Indiana and Ohio State to see if Indiana could, you know, tie that game up. Mm-hmm. The 3:30 slate did nothing for me. Didn't bother watching any of it.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I was just curious how you guys felt and how the rest of our fans felt. Like I said, it might just be weird because it's, like, a bad time of, like, Knoxville being terrible at sports. Because I do still find myself, like, getting pretty excited about the Titans, you know. Pretty excited about the Hawks and the NBA in general. So maybe it's just a college thing.
You think the no fans affect college football? Because, I mean, that's...
Yeah, no fans affect college football more than any other sport. Right. Just because, like, that's the only appeal of college football is, like, the atmosphere and the bands and, you know, the crowd affecting a game. Because, I mean, otherwise the product is just so inferior to what you get. Okay. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. I'm in that 745. Hope I can come scoop you up round 7. All right, it's been a couple weeks. We didn't have games during that time. But let's go back to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Let's do our Power T tape breakdown. I'm interested to see what our boy Austin saw when it came to Harrison Bailey, when it came to the changes in offense over the last couple weeks as they had a little bit of a break, you know, with a chance to get ready. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, go to g3helpme.com. Let's go to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Let's talk to Austin Burlage, Power T Tape. Let's do our Power T Tape breakdown. Austin, good to hear from you, my friend. How are you?
John, I'm doing well, all things considered. How are you doing? Happy holidays to you and yours.
Hey, I don't know if you know this, but for the last 4 years, we don't have to say happy holidays anymore, buddy. It's happy Thanksgiving. It's happy Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Hey, man, I'm keeping it PC. I'm not going to get in any trouble.
Happy Thanksgiving. We can say that in 2020. I don't know about 2021. President Biden won't let us say happy Thanksgiving, but for now we can say it. Happy Thanksgiving, Austin. Let's talk about our biggest turkey here in Knoxville. Jarrett Garantano, was that the last we saw of him on Saturday, in your opinion, with Harrison Bailey coming in and playing pretty well, or the Florida game, do we think it's JG under center?
Yeah, if the Vanderbilt game didn't get canceled, or I shouldn't say canceled, postponed, I would have said no, because I think that if we were playing this coming Saturday, that JG would still be the guy in going into the Vanderbilt game. But because that got postponed, I have to believe that we're going to take the next 2 weeks to get Bailey ready and roll with him for the rest of the way.
How do you think he looked on Saturday?
Up until the first half, I thought he looked fine. I think Pruitt said in his post-game press conference that he kind of defended him, and I think a lot of it was right, and I know people don't want to hear it because for a lot of reasons, but we've seen the same song and dance for the last, 5 years now, but, you know, he did make the right reads. He's not the guy that missed the we should have scored on our first three drives of the game, and he ran it well. There was, I highlighted it on Twitter, but, you know, his touchdown run was a counterplay that we ran a lot, and he ran it well, showed off his legs, which I think I've been calling for him to do a lot more, and so to see the quarterback is like a design part of the run game, which I do think is an element that no other quarterback on the roster gives you. I thought that was really cool. I thought he played well. Now, the RPO pick six was pretty catastrophic. Everybody, you know, we all know that, and it's been a theme now for the last few weeks. And I just, at this point, I don't think those plays are going away. The only thing that, it kind of reminds me, sorry to do this to Cam here, but it kind of reminds me of Matt Schaub. And he was a decent quarterback, and all of a sudden he just could not stop throwing pick sixes.
Yeah,
is that too mean? Was that really
no?
No, I mean, I think that's a proper comparison, because yeah, I mean, that's what essentially ruined his time as a starting quarterback. That was it.
Right, and it just kind of wore out his welcome, and I don't really know what the reason for that was. Like, I don't know. I feel like I know a pretty decent amount about football, and I don't even know what makes like a bad interception versus a pick six. Like, I don't know why they're all ended up in the other end zone.
It seems like bad luck, and it also seems like the worst kind of interceptions. I mean, you do have quarterbacks that just happen to throw more pick sixes, like Jameis Winston, for instance, last year. Just almost all of his interceptions, it seems like a lot of them got returned for touchdowns because they're the timing routes, they're the short throws that get picked off. But I think Garantano, you could live with some of the turnovers, but you can't live with them when they go back the other way. What did you think about Jim Chaney's game plan? It seems like it's the second week or second game in a row where he's came out, really known what he wanted to do. They've done it. They've succeeded. And then you get to the halfway point of the game, and you're like, okay, now we're kind of not going to do anything successful anymore.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I thought the first half was really good. I tweeted out, too, you know, we were the last in the SEC in terms of our use of motion. And motion doesn't solve every problem that an offense has, but I think it's kind of the in vogue thing. I mean, it's to shift guys around, to move people around and get the defense moving. It helps your quarterback identify coverages, and it can get the defense out of position. And if nothing else, it just adds a little eye candy. And going into the game, we had 21% or so, 22% of our plays had motion on them. And then in the first half, I want to say it was 46% had motion on them. Yeah, 46. So we more than doubled our use of motion in the first half, and I think that was huge. I also think I mentioned it last night on Twitter as well. We finally started to do what the fans have been calling for in terms of the freshmen and getting the ball to our athletes in space. Like Gray, obviously running really well between the tackles, but Chandler was getting the ball on the perimeter. We threw a screen to Callaway on the perimeter. Jones was getting the ball, you know, like, so we were starting to get it to playmakers in space, which is modern offense and what people have been, you know, calling for. So I thought that was really good. As far as the second half, we get found out, I think. And I think, you know, we don't really adjust too much. And I think the biggest thing is then our defense gets tired and we get down. We have a really big problem trying to come from behind.
I saw where you said the motion happened a lot in the first half, not so much in the second half, especially not when Harrison Bailey came in. What's the reasoning there?
Yeah, I would have to say that it's because they see him as the clear number two. As much as people want him to be the starter and, you know, they think maybe there's a competition, it tells me that there's not really much of a competition, because every play that had motion in the game had Jerry Garantano in the game. And when Harrison Bailey came in, it was just line up and play, which I think is fine, but it tells me that they're keeping it really simple for him. And they stuck him in the game when we were down 17 points with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So it felt to me, I don't think personally that the game was out of reach, but it felt like they were sticking him in because they felt that it was out of reach, and they were just like, hey, go in there and, you know, see what you could do. We'll be really basic. So.
Well, what did the tape show about Harrison Bailey? How did he look? How did he perform? What did Auburn do on defense? Were they actually playing gay legitimate defense? Or were they playing soft? Because, you know, Tennessee went down and scored when Bailey got in. Was it more Harrison Bailey performing well, or was it the Auburn defense being bad, or a combination?
Yeah, I think it's a combination. I think you have to credit Bailey for doing some things well. We targeted the tight ends a lot more, which is something that's huge. I think being able to use them and not just get zeroed in on Josh Palmer. It can only be good for the offense. And he did take what was presented to him by the defense, so credit to him. He didn't have any forced plays that I can recall. He wasn't trying, he wasn't trying to do too much. I thought at the end of the game, there was no point left. Like, you might as well just throw it to the end zone. I don't really know why he scrambled there, but other than that, I thought he did really well with that. But yeah, I felt Auburn left their starters in, from what I could tell, but they weren't playing the same. They were playing the same defense, but it was a lot looser. I thought, like, they were kind of giving us yards and saying, okay, like, you don't have enough time to come back from 17.
You might not be able to answer this question. You might not have noticed, or you might not want to say, I don't know, but you watch the film, you check it out, you watch it closely, you watch it from different angles. Do you notice on the film a lack of effort on this team? Does it look like the team has quit? Are they still engaged? What do you think whenever you see those guys playing?
That's a great question. I don't think so, personally. I think now what I will say to that, though, is I think there are moments where you can see guys quit. And I don't want to bury guys, but I thought the interception return for a touchdown, I think you saw Princeton Fant and Brandon Johnson running, down there. And there are a couple of linemen that ran until they knew that they were never going to catch Smoke Monday, but there are some other guys that I thought pulled up a little early that maybe didn't need to, and that, to me, is quitting on that play. But I thought, I think there's fight in this team. I am concerned, though, I think, about what we saw last night on Twitter. I don't know if you saw that, John, the tweet, cancel it, or just cancel it at this point, I think Wanya said about the Vanderbilt game. So, it's not, to me, it's not showing up in the film, but it does make me wonder, how engaged are they with, it's got to suck getting tested all the time and games are getting pushed back and when is it going to be over and we've lost five straight. And that's got to be tough on 18 to 22-year-olds.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. And especially, you don't get the likely win against Vanderbilt now and you're going to have to go and play a Florida team as you're already coming off of a six-game losing streak. And it's going to get worse. And I think Florida's going to beat Tennessee's eye shut, and it'll get a lot worse if the players don't want to be out there. So I was curious about the effort, and Wanya Morris's tweet did kind of spark that, but also just it's hard to stay engaged as fans. I can only imagine what the team's feeling like. But you said you haven't noticed it too much, just a couple plays here and there.
Yeah, that's my feeling. Okay. I think it'd be a lot worse if the team quit. Like, I think Auburn, right, or sorry, Arkansas going back then, if they quit, that score is more like 40-something to 13 instead of 24 to 13. And then, we had the late touchdown and it brought it close. But I think Auburn would have put a lot more points on if we had really quit. But I still see a lot of fight.
Well, keep that in mind for the Florida game. I want you to watch for that, too, on your rewatch to see how they look against Florida and how long they stay engaged in that. Austin, appreciate you making time for us. Won't talk to you next week because no game, obviously, but we'll talk to you after the Florida game. Hope you and your family have a very happy Thanksgiving, brother.
Yeah, hey, happy Thanksgiving to all you guys, too.
Follow Austin on Twitter, power_T_tape. He puts up good film breakdowns. Will make you smarter as a football fan. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them at 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. That's G3HelpMe.com. Appreciate Austin, as always, for making time for us. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. If you're just joining us, Tennessee basketball delaying the season even further, not making the trip to Indianapolis. No game against Gonzaga, no game against Notre Dame. That's on top of the Charlotte and VCU game already getting canceled. VCU apparently is replacing, was it Wichita State who had to pull out of a tournament for COVID? So then VCU got the call to go up to South Dakota, I think.
Oh, yeah.
This is just going to be a disaster of a... of college basketball season.
Yeah, it's going to be rough to get through.
And it's a college basketball season that we're really excited for.
Of course. It has to be that way, doesn't it?
Yep.
The one year that we're like, ready to go, let's do it. Going to get all these cancellations. Sounds about right.
Although I will say that we can't – can we use that as an excuse this year? Can we use that as a thing this year whenever, like last year, we got to cancel the tournament when we weren't going to be in it? You know what I mean? It wasn't like we were a one seed whenever we got canceled. Like, I don't know if we get to say, of course, now that we're ranked number 12 in the preseason, is that really – like, can you really say that? Because we had, like, Dayton waiting on their moment to, like, win a championship.
Yeah.
Like, Dayton's the one – they're the biggest losers of this COVID. Or one of, yeah, and outside of all the people who have had family members die, I guess. Sports-wise, Dayton might be one of the biggest losers of COVID. They finally had a chance to win a championship.
They really did.
And had that stolen from them.
Now they'll probably be terrible for
a couple years. Well, they will be.
Yeah. Like, they will be. You're not going to have another top 10 draft pick.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Gonzaga, too, I guess, although they'll return. They'll still be fine, but they had a good team last year, too.
They probably wouldn't have won it, though. They never do.
They'll always think maybe it was that year, because there weren't any great teams last year. It was wide open as ever before.
Was Tennessee ever ranked last year in basketball?
Maybe, yeah. I think
the very beginning.
I believe so. After beating VCU, maybe.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, maybe for a brief second there.
Well, they lost to Florida State.
I was about to say, weren't we ranked?
We lost to Florida State first.
Florida State was pretty good, though, so I don't know if that...
I don't think it was our first game of the year, though.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, but we lost to Florida State before we lost to VCU.
Right. But I think we might have been ranked at that at a point in the year. Man.
The Gonzaga news makes me sad.
Yeah, I was pumped for that game.
Yeah.
I was pumped for that game, and... It's been a weird season. Like, we're not going to have any football or basketball this week.
Yeah, jeez.
At this point, I think we're going to get the Florida game, but no one wants the Florida game.
Do you think the tournament committee is going to hold it against us that we don't have any, like, non-conference game?
Well, seeding-wise, maybe. Yeah, I mean, maybe. Although, like, we tried.
Yeah. So our toughest game is going to be Cincinnati, I guess.
I don't know how much it'll matter seeding-wise. This might be a year where, you know, I could see it being fine if you're a 6 seed, you just go in. Like, you might be, there might be a 6 or 7 seed that's really a top 10 team that just doesn't have the resume.
Yeah.
Especially the group 5 teams that don't have a chance to prove it. Like, I would say the seeding is going to, there are going to be a lot of upsets if we even get to a tournament, I would imagine.
Yeah. I think we'll be fine, too, because we have, like, a Kentucky twice on our schedule and stuff like that. Like, if we play both those games. I mean, they're going to highly rank Kentucky as
well.
Plus,
always, we should run through the SEC.
Yeah.
Like, it should be us and Kentucky and then everybody else.
Yeah.
Maybe Florida.
We also have Kansas, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, that might be one of the biggest non-conference games in the season. I mean, for anybody, yeah.
Yeah. I think they're still doing their kickoff tournament, right? With, like,
just
Kentucky,
them versus
Kansas.
Kentucky. Yeah. Yeah. It'd just be them playing. That was it. It was just them, I think, wasn't it?
No, it was two games. It was Kentucky, Kansas, and. It's usually
that's where us,
Michigan State.
Well, that's
North
where
Carolina.
Us and Gonzaga were supposed to be playing, like in the same place.
But it was part of
a different
thing.
Tournament.
Yeah.
I know, but it got rescheduled, so I didn't know if it like Indianapolis is just going to be us four. I think. The Ravens have more positive tests, but say they still plan on playing on Thursday night. But that could be in jeopardy if they have any more tests tomorrow.
How about say the next couple. Ooh, man, that would be terrible. They have to move that one back too, because that's the only really decent game on Thursday.
I say,
I'll give you Cowboys Redskins though. I'll give you. It's a big game. It'll be close.
Division on the line.
I'll give you that.
On the line.
I'll say, just go ahead and jot it down that the Ravens and Steelers will get.
I'd say odds are low.
We'll be playing on Sunday.
Man, that Thursday night game.
It's all you, man. It's all you.
All the pressure now.
Would they move the time on that or no?
No.
No,
it would still be 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock.
That's better than a night game on Thanksgiving, because everyone's like, either you have an early family dinner on Thanksgiving or you have a late family dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And like by late, I mean like 4 o'clock, and then like you're all there, like in front of the TV.
The Ravens are gonna be without Ingram and Dobbins, right?
Yep.
Oh yeah,
both on the COVID list.
Yep.
The Gus Bus,
both
baby.
Of them. Wow. Okay. Yeah, pick them up in fantasy.
You get a fantasy additions. Ready for us?
Yeah, we can get one ready.
How'd you do last week? Do you know?
Let's find out right now. I'm pretty sure.
Did you put Taysom Hill as your bang on tight end?
No, he picked up. He said pick up Jameis Winston.
No, it was Jameis Winston, but that was before. So
no, I mean, I know. I know. I'm just. I picked up Jameis Winston.
Let's see.
Oof.
Okay, so our quarterbacks were Winston and Tua. Tua.
Okay.
Oh, quarterbacks are off.
Yeah,
that's tough. Running backs was Naheem Himes, who had exactly his projection, 8-11. Rex Burkhead tore his ACL.
Please don't put any Falcons players on this list ever.
Wide receiver, Jacoby Myers. I don't think he did that good.
No, Demir Bird was.
Demir Bird
off,
is
yeah.
the one who actually had the catches.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, wait, we're not done yet.
Okay.
Dalton Schultz for the Cowboys.
Hey, he had a touchdown.
He had the game-winning touchdown. Let's go. How about that? How about that? There we go.
Was that his only catch of the game? Or did
he had like four catches.
He had like four catches. I mean,
just got to check.
He had at least 10 points.
That's good. That's great.
5-yard touchdown catch is your only stat.
I mean, I'd take it as a tight end. Just give me 8 points.
Yeah, I mean, if you're streaming a tight end at this point, I mean,
should have picked up Taysom Hill.
Well, this is on Tuesday, Cam.
Okay.
That's defense. Why you were too slow. That's why I got him in our league.
Defense. Cleveland Browns. How about that right there?
Hey.
21 points.
I knew it was
going to
be the
points.
Defense as that he wanted to get. What about your kicker?
Michael Badgley. I don't know how many points he had. The Chargers scored a lot.
The Money Badger.
How many points
he
had?
He kicked at least two field goals, I think. So he had two
he
field
had like
goals.
Like 10 points.
Two field goals and four extra points. So, yeah, he had at least 10 points. I'd say he had more.
I mean.
Maybe you should just take the special teams and kicker. The streaming.
I mean, the tight end.
A little bit of breaking news, I guess, as we end up an hour or two. The Miami Heat and Bam Adebayo closing in on a 5-year, $163 million contract extension. They went ahead and paid him instead of worrying about keeping his cap space open for next year as they try to pursue Giannis or a big-time free agent. You don't mess around with Bam. Bam earned the money. They gave Bam the money. They'll be able to still move some money around to get some max space if they need it next year. But Bam got paid. Good for Bam.
Back-to-back Eastern Conference champions. Telling you, it's coming.
I disagree.
Is Bam the best big in the league?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Who's better than Bam?
Joel Embiid.
Oh, God.
That lazy. Yeah.
Nikola Jokic.
Okay, maybe Jokic. You have an argument.
We're talking about Eastern Conference.
Anthony Davis.
Don't bring up me.
The guy who just dominated him in the finals.
Eastern Conference.
Bam's
for a couple games.
Than Embiid, though.
No, he's not.
What does Embiid do? He's lazy.
He's not better than Embiid.
Oh, boy.
I think Bam's a top 15
just gets
player.
Hurt a lot.
He's not better than Embiid.
Has Embiid ever made it out past the second round?
No.
No. Oh, okay.
No.
Has Bam ever as the best player on the team? No. Okay, so what game are we playing here?
I mean, some people say that Ben Simmons is the best player on that team.
But what does that have to do with what I just asked? I asked if Bam's ever made out of the second round as the best player on the team, and you bring up Ben Simmons. What does that have to do with?
I think he's saying that Embiid's not the best.
But what does that have to do with Bam?
I'm not sure.
But you said Bam was the second best player. I'm saying Embiid's second best player.
Okay, so wouldn't the argument be about Ben Simmons and Jimmy Butler and the rest of the team around them at that point if they're both the second best player on the team? I don't understand.
I mean,
what you're
some people
here.
Would take the 76ers class.
I don't understand what we're arguing about here. I mean, Bam's great. Don't get me wrong. I think I would take Embiid. I would take Anthony Davis. I would take Giannis. If we're just looking at the big men in the league, that's all I'm saying.
I don't think Embiid stuffs Jason Tatum going to the rim like he did. I don't think Embiid.
It was a great play. It was a great play. I mean, I feel like you should feel pretty foolish for asking if he's the best big man in the league, though. That's all I'm saying.
Best big man in the East.
East, yeah, East.
Okay.
I mean, who won when him and Giannis went head-to-head this year? I believe it was a 6-1 record this year.
Yeah.
Oh, and it accurately portrayed gentleman sleep, like I said.
It's the quietest sweep ever.
And accurately portrayed 6-2 win over the Celtics, like I said.
I mean,
it's incredible, actually.
You actually picked the Celtics in game one.
No, I didn't.
I have the tags. I don't delete them. when you jumped off board and said that Marcus Smart going off was going to affect it. So, I mean, I got the text. I still have them.
I love never deleting texts.
Yeah.
Funny when like, I just the pull receipts. The receipts on people.
Yeah. I got the receipts. Hour two in the books, but, I mean, Anthony Davis won the championship, so he is better than Bam.
He is. Yeah.
So to answer your question, no, he's not the best big man in the league.
Forgot about AD.
Yeah.
He's second, though. Bam is.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. The Heat are going to take a big step back this year. Big step.
Right.
Behind the Hawks, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
They'll be neck and neck.
I got the Hawks number four.
Hey, the Heat aren't getting projected at the seventh pick.
Hour two in the books, hour three on deck. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.